An update from Paris on the climate change summit, where today there was supposed to be a denouement, as they say in France. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Deadlines are sometimes made to be broken, and a global agreement on climate change, brokered by the United Nations, may get pushed into the weekend if there is an agreement. Let's switch now to Paris, where we find the BBC's environment correspondent, Matt McGraw. Morning, Matt.
Hello, David.
We were gearing up for a deadline of today, Friday. It's been pushed back. Why?
Anybody with even a slight familiarity with the UN processes would not be surprised to see it go into overtime. They've made a lot of progress, but they're still not agreed on all the issues. They're hoping that that extra day will give the negotiators the breathing space to make the compromises that are necessary.
A lot of things to work out in an agreement this potentially sweeping, but a lot of focus is on China, and China seeing things a little bit differently here.
Yes, obviously the key underlying argument that makes this difficult to do is the division in the world between richer and poorer countries. The US and many other countries are trying to encourage countries like China and India and others to take on more responsibilities in terms of cutting their carbon, but also to put more money into the pot to help the most vulnerable nations. One of the key things that the US and others are looking at is a thing called transparency. They want to be able to understand that if countries all over the world say they're doing something, there's one system to measure, report, and verify that. And of course, lots of countries feel that's a little bit putting them in a little bit of a kind of slightly pressurized place, and they're not necessarily happy with that. So it's a big task, it's a big ask. And this document, if they get it right, would be the key to getting there.
BBC environment correspondent Matt McGraw at the Paris Climate Talks. Matt, thank you.
Thank you.
In between poor and rich are emerging market countries, including South Africa, where the country's at the brink of having its government debt downgraded to junk status. This month, Fitch cut that country's debt rating to its lowest investment grade level, and that was before South African President Jacob Zuma abruptly fired his finance minister this week. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at new troubles for Africa's second largest economy.
South Africa has a lot of things going for it. It's an advanced, largely industrialized economy on land loaded with minerals. But here comes the but.
Last year, they had platinum strike for a long period of time, over 5 months.
Ravia Bhatia is with Standard & Poor's.
And this year, now they've had electricity shortages and very poor growth.
Commodity prices have plummeted, slowdowns in China and Europe have hammered exports, and the government doesn't have a sound economic policy, says Daniel Silk. He's the director of the Political Futures Consultancy based in Cape Town. He says, look at the finance minister's removal.
This is the shortest ever term of office for a finance minister in recent history, and it also points to disagreements at the highest level over the way forward for the South African economy.
In other words, some of South Africa's headwinds are international, largely out of its control, but others are of its own making. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Quickly running out of time to pass a federal budget, the U.S. Senate is now giving itself a few extra days to hammer out the details. The original deadline of today is moving to this coming Wednesday. Note this is the same day markets will be on edge, awaiting a Federal Reserve decision on raising interest rates. The House of Representatives could also vote today to postpone its budget plan, avoiding a government shutdown as negotiations continue. Among sticking points here, possible changes to Dodd-Frank. That's the financial reform law enacted after the Great Wall Street collapse. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on that.
Things have gotten so gridlocked in Congress that you really can't get difficult legislation passed on its own. You have to attach it as a rider to something Congress must approve, like the appropriations legislation.
So this is sort of the last train in the station.
Chris Krueger is Washington strategist at Guggenheim Securities.
It's probably the last really big must-pass bill before the elections, so everyone is trying to get a ride out of town for their particular legislation.
Lawmakers who want to change the Dodd-Frank financial reform law are among those trying to hitch a ride. One of the biggest changes they want? A different benchmark for deciding a bank is too big to fail. Right now, all banks with more than $50 billion in assets get that label and are subject to more regulation. A Dodd-Frank rider would raise the threshold to $500 billion.
We had a rock, and we began to sculpt it, and it took the form of Dodd-Frank. And now we want to refine it.
Ed Groshans is Managing Director of Financial Services Research at Haidt LLC. He says some changes are necessary so Dodd-Frank can do what it's supposed to do. Aaron Klein at the Bipartisan Policy Center agrees. He's an economist who helped write the law when he worked for former Senator Chris Dodd, a Connecticut Democrat. But he thinks of Dodd-Frank as a sculpture made of clay.
We gave a tremendous amount of clay to the financial regulators to sculpt. And so as they continue to shape it, Congress looks at what they're making and provides them real-time feedback.
Klein recognizes that some in Congress don't want Dodd-Frank changed at all and were upset by changes made last year, calling them rollbacks. But he says they should be happy about this.
Dodd-Frank is here to stay.
Klein says the structure of the Dodd-Frank sculpture is firmly in place. Plus, financial institutions have invested a lot of money conforming with Dodd-Frank, and going back to square one, if Dodd-Frank were repealed, would be very expensive. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And we're watching for confirmation this morning of a story we reported on Wednesday. Chemical giants Dow and DuPont merging in a colossal deal worth perhaps $130 billion. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.